You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast.
Hey, y'all, and I'm JJ.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kat. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
It always gets you, Kat, every time.
Let me do that again. I have to make fun of you every time. Okay.
That was like a very half-assed making fun of me.
I know. I was like, because halfway through, I was like, I don't want to do this every single episode.
If you're
going
to make fun of the y'all, you need to commit to it.
Okay, do it again.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast.
Hey, y'all, and I'm JJ.
Hey, guys, I'm Kat.
Now, see, you didn't make fun of him at all. I mean, you did flip him off, but the cameras can't hear
Wait,
that.
Wait, are you doing all of this in?
So on this episode, we actually had a fan reach out to us on TikTok, and this is pretty cool. She's from Mexico, and she has some stories that she's going to share, which I believe specifically relate to her area and region that she is from. Her name is Caro, and she has been kind enough to join us over Zoom tonight. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And how did you find our podcast?
So I was listening to Paranormalish with Jojo Wright, and he had you in his podcast. So I heard the episode and I said, well, I have to listen to this podcast. I love paranormal stuff. And then I loved you.
That's awesome. So I am curious because we have been putting this in more of our episodes. And I think that was the first episode where we used this clip. What did you think of the super clip of all the weird ghosty sounds that have been in our podcast?
That's pretty scary. I actually kind of skipped those seconds because I imagine just hearing someone whispering in your ear. And then you have to edit them. And it's scary, right?
Yeah, So I edit with like some, they're like old school Bose headphones, like when it still had like the wire attached to them. They're probably, gosh, I don't know, maybe about 10 years old, but they're still noise canceling. And the first time I ever heard that noise, I literally took them off and threw them onto the table, and it sent chills through my whole body. And I think I immediately like saved it and texted it over to Kat and JJ. And I was like, what the hell is this?
It gets us every time. It's like, I'm like, this won't be bad. It's just a little clip, but no, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
And the one episode when a medium said that there was someone behind you guys, I was like, oh my gosh, wow, how, why?
Why?
We were asking ourselves the same question.
It's happened in like two different episodes where someone's like, Kat, there's a woman behind you. And it is absolutely terrifying. The first time, obviously, I was like, I didn't even open my eyes. I was like hunched over. But the second time I was a lot more chill.
I feel like if she is here, she's a welcome presence. She hasn't acted out or anything. She's a pretty, as far as like ghosts go, she seems pretty laid back and chill. So,
well, that's good. Yeah, my kid, he's one. I was feeding him in his high chair today and I was cleaning up and he just looked to the side and just started waving. And of course nothing was there, but he's also just like a little baby, like, you know, whatever. But we've heard so many stories on our podcast for like that split second. I was like, huh? And then I was like, okay, you know what? There's nothing there. It's fine. I'm just gonna, there's nothing to worry about. But yeah, it did kind of give me a little bit.
If I ever see our cat doing something like that, not that he's waving at it, but you know, I always grab my camera and I turn the flash on and I just take a picture of the room just to see if like anything pops up.
Do ghosts show up on flash?
Well, that's how you like.
Are you ready for that? That like, do you really want to see something there?
You're right. I don't want to see it. You're right. Why am I trying to capture that?
I do. Yeah, we're going to start putting flour down on our floor.
Oh, gosh.
Any footprints. And
that's such an old school method to like see the supernatural. But if I saw that, like if I did it myself and saw it, I think I would be, I've said it before, but I think I would be fundamentally changed as a human if I saw little ghost feet or big ghost feet. They don't have to be little, walking across flour in my house. Like, nope, I'm gone. We're selling the house. Maybe we'll burn it down. I don't know. One of those two things. Definitely. So can you tell us what part of Mexico you're from? You know, I it's pretty cool. We have had guests on from other countries, but we have not had anybody on from Mexico yet. So we're definitely excited to hear from you and hear your ghost stories.
Yeah, well, I'm from Veracruz, the beautiful state of Veracruz, which is just next to the Gulf of Mexico. And I live in the capital city, which is Jalapa. And we have pretty hot weather and it's pretty nice. You should all come here someday.
Yes.
Pretty beautiful. Great food. Yeah.
And I want to say, I mean, isn't that area known as a travel destination or am I mistaken?
Yeah, a bit. I mean, everyone knows Cancun and Acapulco, but Veracruz is actually a pretty beautiful state with great beaches and just amazing food. Just come and eat, please.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be awesome. Well, you know how we start this podcast out. So on the Believo-meter, 0 meaning you don't believe in ghosts at all, 10 meaning ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you kind of fall on that scale?
I'm definitely a 10. My family and I have been experiencing paranormal stuff since my dad was little. So we all are firm believers. And I guess I just love this kind of stuff. My family just gathers around and whenever there's a spooky story, everyone just listens to it and they share their own story. So yeah, it's a 10, definitely.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love it when like we have a guest that's like, our whole family, this is how we were raised, telling these stories and sharing our experiences. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my family won't listen to the podcast because they're like, it's too scary. I just can't. And I'm like, this is the by far the most popular thing I do in the creative sphere. Like, please check out this podcast.
Yeah, none of our families listen to this. No. We could all share family secrets and we would get 0 phone calls because nobody listens from our families. That's okay.
It's okay.
We have a new family. It's the Real Hauntings family.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did get called out about an episode by my family, actually, who all of them are, you know, probably more skeptical than I am. And they're just like, I can't believe you're doing this bullshit.
Yeah, we've got to get your brother back on for an episode. Well, so you and your family have had these experiences. How young were you when you had your first experience?
I was probably like 8 years old when I saw a little girl standing in my doorway and I was pretty scared. I just cried and then called my mom and it was just startling. I don't know, really weird. Like my mom lost a baby and she was a girl. So we kind of think it was her spirit just saying hi to me, her sister. So yeah, it was like that at that time that happened. Yeah.
Was the spirit the age it would have been had the person been alive, or was it age appropriate, would you say?
Yeah, she was age appropriate. She was just like 4 years old, like little girl just standing there. Wow. I'm actually looking at my door, but there's
I see you
there.
Keep looking over. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
I'm looking at my door in the background. I'm like, is there a loophole there? Wow, I've heard of that happening actually. And I'm so sorry for your loss, but
thanks.
I have heard of like family members, usually younger ones, that are able to connect or see younger family members that have passed away.
And what did she look like? Was it kind of grainy? Was she grainy? Did she look like a like in color, or how did the spirit present itself?
She was a full, just real person standing there. She was not translucent. She wasn't floating. She was just like a normal person. Like I was seeing my sister there.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I screamed and I didn't see her anymore because I was so scared crying.
Yeah.
I can imagine that would be pretty scary. Kat and JJ, what would be more scary to you all? Would it be seeing a ghost that looks like a person, or a ghost that looks like a stereotypical ghost, like something translucent or grayed out?
For me, probably a person, like a full on, what is the word? Apparition?
Right.
I don't know what word I'm thinking of. But yeah, cause then I think it would be harder to just like brush off as like, oh, I just saw something. It was just like my eyes playing a trick on me.
Yeah.
I think I would be, that's so hard. I think I would be more scared to see like translucent, because if I saw an actual person, my brain would probably be like, oh, you were clearly dreaming or having a hallucination, and your brain's just showing you something you've seen before. But if it's like, I don't know, I think I would, well, let's be honest, I would be terrified if I saw either, but I'm not sure. I think the translucent one would get me more.
Yeah, I think the thing that would interest me about seeing a ghost that you couldn't differentiate between, you know, a living and an unliving person, but you knew it was a ghost, would be in the just your everyday real life. I would be like, well, how many people have we seen that are ghosts, you know, that are just turn a corner and disappear? You see that sometimes in like movies and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that would be kind of fascinating. Your family sees supernatural. Do they also see fully formed apparitions, or do they experience the supernatural in a different way?
No. My dad, he's really perceptive, and I think he passed down that gift to me. So he has seen a lot of stuff. When he was little, he used to live next to a river, and just here in Mexico, rivers are just like kind of haunted because La Llorona just walks through them. And he told me once he saw a woman just in white, black hair, no face, walking through his kitchen to the backyard. And in the backyard, you can just go down to a river. So he saw that woman walking through the kitchen, going to the backyard, and then going down to the river. And then she was floating, and then she just disappeared into the river. But he said that woman was totally just like a person, only she was floating.
Yeah, and you said she had no hair, is that right?
No, she had hair, but no face.
No face, oh gosh.
Yeah.
I thought no hair was scary, no face is much scarier.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch Haunting of Bly Manor on Netflix?
Yeah, yeah, I saw it.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, oh my gosh.
It's been a long time since that came out.
Yeah, I think you're safe.
Sorry if no one has watched it yet. Stop listening now if you have.
Just skip ahead 30 seconds.
Yeah. I'm talking to my one friend, Steven, who always will message us and be like, you guys got to stop spoiling stuff for me. So this is for you, Steven. Turn off, skip ahead 30 seconds. Yeah, same thing. She's no face, black hair, white dress, walks through the house and straight into the river or lake.
The lake, yeah.
I never thought about that, actually. It's really weird. Yeah.
Well, I think our guests say that show, or those two seasons of that show, depict the supernatural in a fairly accurate way from their descriptions that we hear too.
Yeah. I have heard other people say that they have seen that woman, but she has like a horse face. So that's more scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
Horse face?
That's
terrifying. Are those other people in your family or other people in your community?
Yeah, in my family. Like my great grandfather, he used to build highways here in Mexico. So he used to work very late. So one time he was walking like back to his house and he says he saw a woman just walking down the street like ahead of him, and she was floating. She had no feet. He couldn't see her feet. And then he just walked a little bit faster, and like from the corner of his eye, he could see that she had like a weird shaped face and that she had the face of a horse. Yeah, it's something we have heard like in my community, in my city, that La Llorona has a horse face. Yeah.
Why was it, I missed when you said in Mexico, a lot of rivers are haunted. What's the reasoning for that?
That's just like a legend because La Llorona, the weeping woman, I don't know if you have heard of her. Mm-mm. So no, oh my gosh, really? That's really a big legend here. Like, so we have two theories of La Llorona, which is the weeping woman. The weeping woman was like a pretty wealthy woman. When the weeping woman was like a wealthy woman who lived like a long time ago, and she drowned her children in a river.
What?
So God punished her, and then now she roams the streets of Mexico just looking for her children, and because she drowned them in a river, she haunts rivers.
Oh my gosh.
We're looking it up right now, and wow, that is so sad and tragic and scary. And
that's just Mexico. I mean, we make fun of the death. We have 2 days dedicated to death.
So is that something that's just like everyone in Mexico knows about this lady?
Yeah, just it's a scary story for children. Like if you behave bad, La Llorona will come for you.
Oh my gosh.
Do you believe in La Llorona, or do you think it's like just kind of a way to scare kids into behaving well?
I believe in her. I have heard her actually.
Really?
But yeah, it was pretty scary.
Real quick, I just have to close my door behind us because the dark space is just freaking me.
That's how you know it's a good episode.
She actually screams, "Ay, mis hijos," which is "I, my children," because she drowned them.
Oh, man.
But actually, when I heard her, I was having a sleepover with my college friends. And then I was kind of just in the middle of falling asleep. And then the dogs started barking and I didn't know what was happening. So I just listened very carefully. So there's a saying here in Mexico that if you hear La Llorona near you, it's actually far away from you. But if you hear her far away from you, it's actually near you.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it's pretty scary. So I heard like a cry, like, something like that, like far away from me. And I almost died. Like I had to put on a podcast and then just distract myself in Twitter because I was hearing this weird thing and the dogs were barking and I just can't explain what that noise was. It was like the middle of the night and like a Wednesday. So there was no one partying. It was really weird. Yeah.
Did you hear her say like, "Ay, mis hijos or like you just heard the scream?
Yeah, I heard the scream. So the legend says she screams, "Ay, mis hijos," but we, I don't know, Mexican people, I guess, we know that the real Llorona, she just screams. And it's kind of like a really sad and weird lament.
And like, how can you be certain that it was La Llorona and not just like someone else screaming or like a wind howling or something?
Yeah, I mean, there was it wasn't a wind howling because there was no wind that night. Yeah. But I guess it was the dogs that started barking that really put me off. I mean, there was no noise and then they started barking like crazy, like something had just woken them up and there were no cars in the street and it was just silent. And then suddenly this scream that just happened to be heard. I guess that those signs were the ones that told me that really it was La Llorona or something paranormal just happening. And it was that house was near a body of water. I think it was like, I don't know if it was like a river that had been covered up or something like that.
It makes me wonder if the Blind Manor writers, you know, borrowed from that legend for the show, because that, I mean, she doesn't scream, but everything else is like fairly spot on for that character.
There was actually a movie a few years ago, like from the makers of The Conjuring and...
Or The Nun, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there was La Llorona, which is pretty bad. Please don't follow that. But I think maybe they got that from there.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's fascinating. So you, from moving on from the incident when you were 8, what was your next supernatural experience?
My next supernatural experience was one day I was having breakfast with my parents and they have a little altar for the Virgin Mary because they are Catholic. So in that altar, there's only like a few candles and an image of the Virgin Mary. And it was placed, like, pasted, I don't know, like, in the wall. Like, you screw it, and then just, it's really firm.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly that altar just flew across the room. Like, someone had pulled it and threw it across the room. Like, it didn't fall down. It just flew across the room, and then that was my dad said, oh my gosh, something bad's going to happen. And it actually happened. My uncle had an accident. He crashed his car against a cow. So I guess that was the second time something happened to me. And it was with my dad, yeah.
And that was in your home?
Yeah, it was in my home. Wow. And again, I'm going to mention that we live next to a river.
Oh no.
Yeah, I'm starting to believe this haunted river thing.
I'm surprised anyone in Mexico goes near rivers now. What are y'all doing?
But also, I will never swim in a river in Mexico. I'm sorry. I just said no.
Yeah.
So when you saw that happen, I mean, did you scream or did it feel unsafe? Or how did you feel when that happened?
I guess I got scared, but my dad just gave me the confidence that it was okay, that nothing was going to happen to us, but something was going to happen because he says the universe or someone or something tells him whenever something bad's going to happen. So I don't know, that's really weird. Like he has this gift and then I just happen to be there whenever something happens with him.
That reminds me of our guest that this like voice would tell her when somebody was pregnant or was gonna die, you know.
Yeah wasn't it the one that heard that her dog was dead when
and it told her to check and then her mom was like the dog's fine and then her mom went into the backyard and the dog had passed.
I just needed to ask, was your uncle okay?
Yeah, he's okay.
What about the cow?
I can't remember. I just cared about my uncle at that time, but no, I care about cows now.
More people too.
Good priorities.
Yeah.
Did your uncle say, why didn't it move over?
Oh my god, that was great.
Thank you.
You cannot edit it out because our listeners need to know how bad your dog is.
So your uncle hits the cow, you see this object fly across. Did you all ever bring a priest or anybody into the home to try to get it blessed to stop some of the activity?
Yeah, that's something that happens always. Whenever you move into a new house, like Mexican people just bring a priest and the priest blesses all the house and then we pray and then we have a barbecue.
And is it a Catholic priest or?
Yeah, like here in Mexico, we are pretty, I am not, but people in general are pretty Catholic. And we believe in, you know, that kind of stuff, like blessing your car, like people will drive around with, I don't know how,
rosary. How you,
yeah, with a rosary in their mirrors, and then they just bless everything. We even bless pets and just crosses. And yeah.
Do you, so I'm curious, because you have you have supernatural experiences and you're also familiar with the Catholic Church, and it sounds like it has a pretty rich history in your area. Do you believe in exorcisms or do you think those are fake?
No, I totally believe in them and I'm pretty scared of them. Like I won't ever in my life, in my million years, play with a Ouija board, and I will never watch any, you know, The Exorcist or anything like that, because I'm, although I love paranormal stuff, I am pretty scared of demons and just exorcisms.
Yeah, I was going to ask if we ever do an episode talking about our Ouija board experience, if we do one. Will you skip it?
No, Ouija boards, no, I can hear them, but just exorcisms, just like the thought of listening to someone like speaking in another voice, and just it's just pretty scary.
Well, after these blessings, have you ever noticed a change in the home, like a vibe one way or the other?
No, because those happen like when you move. Like at
so it's like pretty routine.
Yeah, then they just go to the church and pray, but they never just bring the priest back unless it's pretty bad. But it's not that bad in my house. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating. All right. Well, what happened after the infamous cow accident?
Well, another thing that happened to me twice is that I saw someone that wasn't there, and I blame my father for this, like all the way. Like the first one that really got me, I was like 11 years old, and we were celebrating Day of the Dead in the cemetery. And you know, if you saw Coco, like we decorate all these cemeteries with cempasúchil, which is the flower that's orange. And I was just with my parents decorating tombs, like for my grandpa and my grandmom. And then I got tired and went and sit next to a woman, like in a bench. So this woman, she was really cute. I can still remember her, like white hair, pink cardigan, just like cheeks, really, you know, rosy, really, really cute. And we started talking because I'm a pretty extroverted person sometimes, like really sometimes. And then she said like, hey, some people like to be buried where they were born. And I was like, yeah, totally. And she said, for example, I was born in another city and I stayed here. And I was like, yeah, totally. You stayed here, right? But I just didn't understand what she was saying until I came back with my parents and told my parents like, hey, this woman said like she wanted to be buried in another city where she was born and she just stayed here. Like, what does that mean? And then my dad said like, hey, you just spoke to someone who's dead. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. That's like what you see in movies, I feel like.
Yeah.
Where like, 100%. You know, the main character is like having a moment, sits on the bench next to the old lady and they're chatting and then like so inspired and she turns around and she looks back and she's gone.
Yeah. I didn't look back or anything. Just like I told my parents, like she said this and then my dad said, just pray for her. Like if she was really a dead person, like maybe she wanted you to pray for her and just for her soul to rest in peace. And I was like, no, take this woman to where she was born. Oh my gosh, what did you hear?
And isn't that kind of the idea of the Day of the Dead, is that like it's a day where the separation between the dead and the living is like really, really thin. Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Most so of what have, I know about that is from the movie Coco.
Yeah, I know. it's pretty accurate. Like, we have some Aztecs traditions that's like going really, really deep into that. But yeah, we have like basically today's November 1st and November 2nd. Like, November 1st is the day where souls from the purgatory come. Also, unbaptized children. And they just come here and hang around us. And they, the second day come like the people who died in accidents or just general family. And we put little altars with food and flowers. And just, it's a pretty beautiful moment where you remember your loved ones. Yeah, so that's why we go to cemeteries and decorate and just spend time there. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you noticed more paranormal activity on those days?
I don't know. I guess I haven't noticed more paranormal activity, but maybe there is. Like, I saw someone that wasn't there.
Did part of you ever think, like, who was that crazy old lady who was just messing with me? Or were you like, no, that was a ghost? For sure.
No, I totally believe it was a ghost. Like, I know. Yeah.
Wow, that's a beautiful story though.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then I have another one, like my uncle, like my mom's brother passed away, and we were all in the cemetery, and there was like a man standing behind the place where he was going to be buried, and he was wearing a white guayabera, which is like a shirt, like a Mexican shirt for the hot weather. And just khaki pants and sandals and a hat. And then I went to my dad and was like, hey, like, who's that person who's right there? And he was like, Carlo, there's nobody there. Like, why are you watching? And I was like, that there's someone like standing there. And he was like, no, just calm down. Everything's fine. And I was like, oh my gosh, freaking out. And then a few months later, when my mom was a little bit calmer and a little less sad, I just came up with her and said, hey, I saw this. And she was like, oh, it was probably your great grandfather coming to collect your uncle's soul. And I was like, oh my gosh, if that happens to me, that's great. I mean, imagine having a loved one coming for you when you die so you don't live alone.
Right.
And then she showed me a picture of him because I never met him. And yeah, it was him.
It'd be a bummer if nobody came though. Like, it'd be a party where you invited everybody and nobody showed up. You're just like, just at the crossroads. Like, it's like that Bone Thugs song. Where's everybody?
Maybe that's how ghosts are made. Like, nobody comes for them.
They're just lost souls.
Yo. Yeah.
We figured it out.
This is our last episode. You but that really is beautiful.
That is.
And yeah, oh my goodness, how special is that?
Yeah.
Did you like see anything leave with him or?
No, I just saw him just walk away slowly as I was losing my mind. And just that's all. I guess I just recognized my great grandfather.
And what were some of the features that like you recognize, that like told you, like when you saw the photo you're like, oh yeah, that's him?
His clothes, like the guayabera, the shirt and the sandals. He was the same man that used to build highways here in Mexico, so he was always like hot, so he always used to wear like clothes that are light and just pants that are light. So that's how everyone kind of dressed in that time. So
yeah,
she had that picture and it was like pretty much him. Yeah.
So the clothing fit the era that he would have lived in.
Yeah,
totally. For the work he did. Wow. Yeah, I mean, look, if you're going to see ghosts, I would much prefer the experiences you've had versus some of the other ones we've heard about. I mean, minus you, the river lady, that I could probably do without. But the other ones are pretty awesome.
Well, I think part of it is just like, you know, you were raised in that, and, you know, accepting that when you cross over, you're not gone, you're still remembered, and you're still able to visit with them and celebrate them. And I think that's such a big part of it, because you grow up like knowing them and expecting that. And especially how I was grown up, it was, you know, so opposite. We barely talked about what happens after you die and how to like process what happens when your loved ones die. So now, of course, it's like scary and unknown, and like, you know, and as we're trying to process what we're experiencing or what, you know, what other people are experiencing.
Well, so, Kat, you've said before, and my family's the same way. It's like, if you try to bring up the supernatural, it was almost like you would be mocked or feel ashamed, or, you know, like, oh, that's not a real thing. Like, or they just wouldn't want to talk about it, because something about religion versus supernatural feels so scary for certain people. And it's like, I get these premonitions, and all my life I thought it was just, I mean, there are a lot of them are like meaningless stuff, but all my life I just thought, you know, like, oh, this is, you know, I just didn't understand or whatever. And then I waited until I was like in my late 20s to bring it up with my dad when we were in the car together. And he was like, oh yeah, that's happened to me my entire life. And it's like, it would have been nice for you to say something ages ago, so I wouldn't feel like a weirdo, you know, for these things. I mean, I have been at work before and my brain go, they're going to say this. And then I literally watch them say what they're going to say. And then it's like, when you're going to say, and I just see it all play out. And he was like, yep, happens to me all the time. And I was like, well, that's good to know. Thanks. Now that you're like 70, glad we had this talk.
Yeah. I guess here in Mexico, we embrace that. It's part of everyday life. Like, we see just people passing all the time. And instead of being sad about it, maybe the beautiful thing about passing is that you get to see your loved ones. And that's the promise, right? Like, that's what people think. It's worth it, like, living a life and then reuniting with everyone you lost. It's kind of beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Well, and it's so interesting to me, because so many people in the U.S., like, share that belief that they'll get to see their loved ones after they die, but it's not, I mean, like, you're saying it's embraced, it's like, sweep it under the rug here, let's never talk about it, and yeah, any fears or emotions you have around it, just bottle it up and keep that to yourself.
Very exclusive, and not everywhere, there's definitely like,
yeah, that's obviously a generalization,
right?
But yeah, I feel generally it's
right.
Yeah, I mean, of course it's sad, but I've had funerals where my uncles and my aunts just gather around while everyone's praying and just go outside and start drinking and start like having a party, trying to remember the person who passed, because that's how we knew them, like happy and just remembering good stuff. Well, I mean, of course, it's really sad, but it can't be sad all the time. Like, we have to look, like, for the bright side, right? Like, yeah, they are in a better place, maybe, yeah?
So I'm really interested in kind of the urban legend lore side of the supernatural in Mexico. Is there any other really well-known lore or urban legend stuff that you'd like to share to our audience that they may not know about Mexico?
Yeah, I have two actually, chaneques, which are like dwarves or goblins. They are also called aluches in Cancun and just the Riviera Maya. They are little goblins. People say they are the souls of unbaptized children that just like to play with kids, and they come with you and start playing with you and then get you lost. So they are in forest or just crowded spaces with a lot of nature. So those are the chaneques. Actually, I have a story about that. I have stories like for years. So these chaneques used to be, they are in a lot of places where there are children, because they like children a lot. So when I was a little girl, my dad had this jar with marbles, and he used to have them closed with a lid, And he said, I used to play with someone. I'm an only child, so I had to just play with someone or I would just go crazy. Yeah. So he said, I used to play with little children. And then he used to find his marbles just laying around outside his jar, like the lid would be open and I would just not play with them. So they think those were chatnikis playing with those little marbles. Wow. Yeah. And aluches actually are the ones that protect the jungle and the beaches and just nature. They are like nature protectors from us because we destroy everything we touch. And then I have these stories about nahuales. I don't know if you have heard of skinwalkers.
No.
Oh my. It's like vaguely familiar.
What is it again?
Skinwalkers.
Skinwalkers. I mean, I'm a consumer of just pop and media from the United States. So I first heard of skinwalkers in Supernatural, the series.
Oh.
Yeah. And then skinwalkers are just basically monsters or spirits that can just turn themselves into animals and people and just are like paranormal stuff. Shapeshifters. Yeah. And so nahuales here in Mexico are people like chamanes, warlock, witches that can turn themselves into animals. So they have to do this big ritual with prayers. And they can turn themselves into, I don't know, peacocks and dogs and just basically any animal they want, so they can get revenge on people. Mm-hmm. Or they can just enjoy themselves being an animagus, basically. So
what animal do you think JJ would turn into if he did the spell?
Oh, my gosh. I really don't want to offend anyone, but maybe a moose.
I'm not offended at all. Moose are really badass. I mean,
yeah,
they're very pretty. I've seen.
Yeah, they're really big and majestic, and they have this great big and I don't know.
He does have a very like Bullwinkle vibe to him, so I really appreciate that.
I love moose. I love Bullwinkle. I'm also terrified of moose.
Yeah,
they're scary.
They're huge, like very majestic.
Think of like moose being like, oh, I'm gonna take this car down.
Were really bizarre animals.
Yeah.
Right. And I
why did you look right at JJ when you said bizarre? You were like, they're very bizarre.
Well, it's just another thing I share with moose.
I was also gonna say it's hard to offend JJ. You can take it all.
I also heard that orcas are like their predators because they can swim like really deep.
Interesting.
It's a strange world.
I had not heard that. That's amazing. That,
yeah, I think I've seen a picture of one swimming really deep before.
So those are nahuales. You can scare them away from your house or your family by placing a hat upside down and just stabbing it with a knife. And that's how you stop nahuales from just being around you.
Oh, do you stab the hat like into the floor?
Yeah, into the floor.
Have you ever done that before?
No, but my dad has.
Yeah. Did he think he was actively being like tracked by narwhales?
The neighborhood was, they would hear strange noises because, you know, river. And they would hear strange noises. People would hear like someone landing on their roofs and just strange things would happen to neighbors. Like one day, a neighbor friend of my mom, she just woke up naked. Ooh. And that's really weird. And
speaking so my dad of JJ. Said,
it wasn't me.
So my dad said, no, this is a nahual. And even though he's pretty Catholic and he believes in just church, he said, no, this is a nahual, so I'm going to stab a hat upside down and then he will be gone. And then, yeah, everything just stopped after that.
Wow.
Weird. Oh my
goodness. Fascinating.
Yeah. Well, Mexico is full of legends.
I know. Oh yeah. I love that. I love lore and urban legends. So that's one of my favorite things.
Do you mind if I ask you about a mythic creature that I know very little about, but it's just a fun word for me to say, and so it stuck with me. But do you know, it's like chupacabra.
I knew it.
You knew it. I think like Americans know it because it is just like a fun sounding word, but I don't really know what it is, to be honest.
Okay, chupacabras actually means goat sucking.
Uh-huh.
And chupacabras is a creature that appeared like in the 2000s. So farmers were saying that their cabras, their goats, and their chickens would just appear to be dead, drained from their blood. So everyone started tracking what was happening, and they came up with the chupacabras, which is like a creature that's like a wolf with shiny pointy teeth and red eyes. Mm-hmm. And he would just kill animals
and suck their blood.
And suck their blood, yeah.
Like a little vampire.
That's been happening like sporadically for years, like in the 2000s, then 2010, and in 2012. Yeah, something like that. So chupacabras, that's what it is.
So like people have found like goats that like other than, I mean, like they're not eaten or chewed up or anything. It's just that there's like their blood was sucked out of them or drank.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were completely just dead in the ground. Yeah. And they were all bloody because it was pretty violent. You know, the attacks from the chupacabras were pretty violent for the animals. And they would attack cows and chicken and just basically farm animals.
So it's not like a vampire sucking blood where it's like, oh, you had two cute little teeth marks. It's like,
no, he would just murder them and then drink their blood.
Oh my gosh.
Like, ugh, pretty violently. Yeah. Wow.
Well, I would still take a chupacabra over La Llorona.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're coming up on an hour. Is there any other stories that you want to share with our audience? I mean, I think we would definitely like to have you back on the podcast down the road to share more stories. I know this has been a lot of fun for us.
Anytime you want. I'm pretty excited to be here. So since we were talking about, you know, family and stuff like that, I just wanted to end with a story that really has my heart. Like my mom's birthday is on February 29th. So her birthday is every 4 years. Yeah. And it's a pretty special moment because she loves being just taken care of. So a few years ago, like my uncle died in 2010, I think. So a few years ago, she was sleeping and it was her birthday. And my uncle a few years ago had given her like a little music box. And that music box has been untouched like for so many years. We didn't know it worked. And then on the day of her birthday, the box started just playing this little song. Like, wow. It's from a movie with Christopher Reeve that he goes back in time. It's really, really beautiful. And that melody is really, really beautiful. So on her birthday, the box that her brother gave her, that he has passed away, it just started playing. And it was really, really beautiful. Like, she told me with tears in her eyes, like, my brother was here. He was here with me on my birthday. So yeah, I think that's pretty beautiful.
You have the most uplifting ghost stories. I could listen to these all day long.
Yeah, I'd be glad to come back whenever you want.
Usually it's like, I woke up and I was paralyzed, and then this thing was breathing over my face and I smelled rotting flesh, and I'm like, okay, that's a lot. Like, let's
That's beautiful. And I bet there's like so many more heartwarming stories like that in Mexico too, just from the level of embrace that you guys have with the dead. It's just such a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that.
No, thank you for listening to me.
So, Caro, is there any place we can find you or our listeners could find you? TikTok or Instagram, Twitter, anything like that that you want to share?
Sure. You can tweet me at Caro Matz, CaroMatz. On Twitter, I'm there like most of the time just reading tweets and reposting tweets.
Love yeah. it.
That's and as tradition, when we have fans on the podcast, we would love for you to do the sign off with us. Is that something that you'd like to do?
Yeah, sure. Hola, soy Caro y en... Okay. Sorry. No, hola, you're... soy Caro y han estado escuchando a The Real Hauntings Podcast.
And I'm Noah Daniels.
And I'm JJ.
And I'm Kat. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. That was really cool.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that was awesome.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet. As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.